If you're saved in the grace of God, you're on the winning side. Right. Amen. It's all been settled. Well, you have your Bible open to Malachi chapter number 3. And in thought of our missions revival and in thought of our beginning of a new fiscal year here at Fellowship Baptist Church, I began to think about why God has blessed the church so much. What does it take for God to bless a ministry? And there's several things that came to mind. Several things. First of all, I think it takes the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. A lot of folks have quit preaching. A lot of folks need to quit preaching. All right? That's two separate issues. A lot of folks have quit, and there's some that need to stop because what they're preaching is just not so. The preaching of the Word of God is what God demands. It's what He commands, and it's what we need. And then there is the love of the brethren, the unity of the brethren. God blesses unity. Where there's unity among the brethren, you will see God's hand. Where there's disunity, murmuring and complaining, where there's rebellion against authority, you will not see God's hand on that ministry. Mark it down. Where there is an understanding about giving, this is one of the most, if not the most given church that I know of. God's people here at Fellowship Baptist Church are giving people. You see, when I said that, it got lighter. It did. Tracy said, "That wasn't God, that was me. I turned the lights on, Pastor." Doggone it. I knew that. God blesses ministry that is conducted by His Word. Brethren, we want to be biblical in all that we do. You know, we have a lot of events here at the church, and I'm going to get into the message. It's really a simple message on why God has blessed Fellowship Baptist Church. And this is just one of the many reasons why. I want to give you a reason why. And it's because of giving people with giving hearts. And you're it. You're it. When people understand that God is in control of the finances, when our faith and our stewardship is where it belongs, God is pleased and God blesses. Now, I realize I'm in the book of Malachi. I understand, listen, I've been saved for 41, 42 years. I've been in the ministry for 35, 36 years. I've preached through about every book of the Bible. I'm not saying I know it all, by no means. There's probably more that I do not know than I do know when it comes to the Word of God. And that's not a feigned modesty. It's the truth. The more I find out about God's Word, the more I realize that I need to know. And so please don't take what I'm getting ready to say as I think I'm something. The only thing I am is an old sinner saved by the grace of God. Amen. That really means anything. Amen. But I've heard these arguments on law and grace and giving and tithe and offering. I want to talk to you about why God blesses people. This is one aspect of it, just one. I want you to think about this, okay? Look, if you would, in the Scripture, and you tell me if you would like this. If you wouldn't, well, then you're just going to have to endure the message this morning. But if you would, listen carefully. Look at verse number 10. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven." Would you like that? Amen. Would you like the windows of heaven to be open to you? Now, the door of heaven's already been opened. Thank God for that. Jesus opened the door. Somebody say amen with me. He said in John 10:9, He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Amen. And so I thank God the door of heaven's already been opened. And if you by faith have received the finished work of Jesus, well, then you're saved in the grace of God and your eternal destiny settled in heaven. But we're not talking about the door of heaven this morning. We're talking about the windows of heaven. And here, the Word of God said, if you'll obey me in this area of your experience with God. If you will obey me in this area, he said, I want you to prove me, which means put me to the test. Prove me. Prove me, he said. Test me and see if I won't do what I said I'll do. Test me. But now you got to have faith. See, part of the test is faith. He said, you do something, then I'll do something. Right? See, we want to see God do something, then we'll do something. But that's not the way God works. Right? He said, you do something, then I'll do something. God said, you draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Amen. A lot of people's waiting on God to get near, and God said, you get near, and I'll get near. Right. Amen. Amen. And now he says this. He said, you bring me. You trust me with your finances. You bring me. You trust me with your tithe and offering. And he said, prove me. Test me. And see if I won't respond to that. He said, here's how I'll respond. And there's not a person in here, I don't think, if they would be honest in their heart, would say, I would like this. He said, I will open the windows, and I'm putting it in the positive. He said, you prove me if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Now watch this. And pour you out a blessing. Now if he stopped right there, that'd be good enough for me. But he didn't stop there. He said, I'll not only give you, I'll give you abundance. And I'll not only give you abundance, which is more than what you supply or what you need for supply, I'll give you superabundance, which is exceeding abundantly above what you need for supply. He said, prove me that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Here it is, that ye shall not, there shall not be room enough to receive it. He said, I'll not only meet your need. He said, I'll not only give to you, but I'll give to you to go through you. You see that? See, a lot of times we think what God gives to us is for us. It's not. See, God wants to give through us too, right? So see, God will give to me so that he can give through me. Now, why has God blessed this ministry? Why are we sitting here this morning with very few chairs available? Why are we sitting here this morning with people continuing to be saved through this ministry, with people continuing to come? It's not because I'm dynamic. You know better than that. It's not because of some charisma I have. I've already told you what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. Any good you see in me is by God alone. It's not because we have, you know, these beautiful stained glass windows, or people come so they can look at, you know, the beauty of the structure. It's not of the material things or a lot of the things that we would consider on the outskirt or just part of the extracurricular. It's right down to this. It's because people at Fellowship Baptist Church get it. And so I want to just lay this out so that it should there be someone here that's wrestling with that and saying, I don't know. I don't know, preacher. I don't know. Am I doing the right thing here? Am I doing the right thing with trusting God in this area of my life? I've trusted him with my soul. I've given Jesus my heart. I've laid my life on the altar and said, God, I'll go wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll say whatever you say for me to say. God, I'm yours. You bought me with a price. I'm not my own anymore. Am I doing right by this? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Would you follow me along? Four simple truths. Four simple truths. Let's begin with this, okay? By the way, I want you to know something. God is very, very concerned about your finances. God's very concerned about my finances. You say, now, why is God concerned about my finances? Well, because the devil's concerned about your finances. And God wants to make sure that your finances are used in a way that's going to benefit you. See, God doesn't need your benefit. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You understand that? See, if God ever got hungry, he wouldn't write me. Somebody say amen with me. If God ever had a need, and he doesn't, if he ever had a need, then he wouldn't be God. Amen. And I think sometimes the church acts like, well, God's broke. I have some news for some folks this morning that may be watching by live stream. I want you to listen to me very carefully. God is not broke. God is not even in financial difficulty. Somebody say amen with me right there. So don't you think this morning, well, the preacher's preaching because God needs our money. No, God doesn't need your money. God needs you to rightfully be a good steward of your money because it's His and it's on loan from Him to you and to me. And He wants me to do right by it so that when I stand before Him as a steward, which is not, a steward is not someone who owns, it's someone who manages. You understand that, right? See, a steward is not ownership. The earth is the Lord's, I said, and the fullness thereof. God owns it all, brethren. Amen. Amen. You see, God owns it all. He's just left us to be managers of some things, and we want to be good managers so that when we stand before Him, we can give a good account of what He's given us. So let's look at this. Number one, recognize your failure. This is what I've seen folks do here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I had to go through a period of time like this in my life where I recognized that I was failing God in biblical giving. What is biblical giving? Well, let's talk about this. Recognizing your failure. I've seen many do it at Fellowship Baptist Church. And I believe that most people, even here this morning, if not all, I don't know your hearts. I don't know your heart. Where is the failure? Well, watch this. Look at this. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. God said, you've gone away from my ordinances. And He said, you've not kept them. Now, what's one of the ways that they had gone away? Notice what He says here. He said, but ye said, in the latter part of verse number 7, wherein shall we return? In other words, Lord, what have we done wrong? He said, you've got to recognize what you've done wrong. And then God said, I'll tell you what you've done wrong. You've got to recognize where you've gone wrong. He said in verse number 8, God said, will a man rob God? That's a serious question. Will a man rob God? You know, it's bad enough for a man to rob another man. Say amen with me. I don't like thieves. I don't like giving to people who won't work for it. Say amen with me. I don't mind helping my brother now. I'll help my brother. Listen, I'll help you. I'll help you as long as you're putting your best foot forward. Your preacher will stand by your side. But now if you're lazy and you won't work, I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to give you anything. Amen. Now if you can't work, I'll stand right by your side and try to nurse you back to where you can work. Say amen with me now. See, we've got this thing mixed up. Now, here's what God said. He said, you've messed up because you've robbed me. Now, I want you to watch this. You've got to recognize, did you write that down? You've got to recognize your failure. They didn't. Watch what they said. God said, you're robbing me. And notice what they said in verse number 8. Wherein have we robbed thee? We don't realize we've robbed you. God, we're not robbing you. God said, you are. You are robbing me. And they said, where? How? Right? They didn't recognize. You've got to recognize. I've seen many at Fellowship Baptist Church over the years to recognize and say, I get it now. I get it. This is not about God wanting my money. This is about God wanting me. Did you get that? This is about God wanting all of me. I can trust God with everything. I can trust Him with everything. Notice what He said here now. In verse number 7, He said, from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away. See, God said, I want you to come back. If God was just concerned about our money, He said, I don't care if you come back or not. Just send the check in. Amen. Just send the meat down to the storehouse. It's got to feed the priest, right? I mean, this is what this is about in the Levitical, under the Levitical system. He said, just send it on down to the storehouse. But then He said, no, that's not what I want. I want you to bring it. I want you to return. I want you. Is that what He said? Look at it here again. He said in verse number 7, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. So He said, I want you. But you've got to recognize your failure. As I've already said, many here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and I praise God for it, they get it. I am a steward of what God gives me. And I'm going to give the tithe. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And I'm going to give offerings, grace giving. I'm going to go beyond the law. And I'm going to give with love. And I'm going to do it cheerfully. Because I believe in what God is doing. We've seen that right here. We've seen it. Notice this. Not only is there a recognizing or recognize your failure, but there's a renewing of the fellowship. God said, return unto me. Look, if you would, again in verse number 7. He said, you're going away. You're going away. Brother, can I tell you that people, they get away from God in different areas of their life. They quit reading their Bible. They quit attending church. They quit praying. They quit witnessing. They just quit doing what God said to do. One of the first things that people quit doing is giving to God. And God said this, now notice it very carefully. He said, you are going away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. He said, return unto me. He said, I want you to renew something. You listening? I want you to renew your fellowship. Now, in order to renew fellowship, this is where a lot of folks get mixed up, so I want you to really listen to me real careful right here. The place to renew is the place of departure. Where have you left? Where did you leave? That's where you get back in. You get back in where you left. The place of renewal is at the place of departure, right? If you've quit reading your Bible and you want to renew your fellowship, you need to start reading your Bible again. If you've quit praying and you want that fellowship that you once had in the prayer closet, you need to get back in the prayer closet. Dust off the door and get back in the prayer closet. Amen. If you've quit sharing your faith, if you've quit living according to the Word of God and you said, I'm going to live my way and not God's way, then you need to humble yourself and say, God, I was wrong. You're right, and I want to make it right with you, and I want to serve you with my life again. These folks had quit bringing their tithes and their offerings down to the storehouse at the temple, and God said, that's where you departed from me. He said, so that's where I want to put my finger on so you can renew where you departed. Do you see what God did there? That's what he did. See, they said, wherein have we left you? Wherein? Wherein did we leave? Wherein, in verse number 7, shall we return? You see that? Wherein shall we return? He said, where you left? Is that what he's saying, brethren? Wherein are we going to return? He said, where you departed? The place of renewing is the place of departure. He said in verse number 8, when they asked the question, God said, I'll tell you where. Look at verse number 8. He said, will a man rob God? He said, what do you think about that? See what God's trying to do? See, God is gracious this way. God is saying, I want to provoke your mind to think where you have left me. I want to provoke your mind into thinking where you did depart. And then they said, after he said, will a man rob God? They said, wherein have we robbed thee? And he said, okay, I'm going to tell you where your offense is in tithes and offerings. You've quit coming to the temple, and so you quit bringing your tithe and offering. Where do you need to renew your fellowship at? It might not be in tithe and offering. I don't know. It may be. Most folks have this mindset, you know, well, 10% God's and 90% mine. Let me just help you out. We've got some new Christians, got some young folks in our congregation today. 100% of it belongs to God. 100% of it. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Because I'm going to talk to you about releasing your finances. We talked about, first of all, recognizing your failure. Then renewing your fellowship. You've got to get in where you left. I don't know where that is for you. We sang the song this morning, Revive Us Again. I don't know where that is for you. I don't know what's in your heart. I know when I've got away, I knew where I got away at. You know where you got away at. Maybe you're away right now. I don't know. Maybe there's someone watching by live stream. They're away right now. I don't know. But you know. You know. And God's speaking to your heart right now, saying, this is where you got off. And this is where you can get back in. Right here. Right here. Until you accept responsibility for that broken fellowship with God, you'll never get right with God. Never. But when you accept that responsibility and say, it's me, Lord. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, O Lord, that stands in need of prayer. Amen. Right? Amen. Don't think now you can just do what you want to do and live in sin and God's going to bless you. That's not going to happen. Please hear the preacher this morning. I don't care what some preacher on the radio said. Listen, it doesn't matter what you saw on some live stream cast. The Word of God says, if you sin against God, God will remove His blessing from your life. If you have sinned, you must confess. Acknowledge your sin. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of your sin. But you must come and humbly confess it before the Lord. Now, let's talk about this. We talked about the recognizing of the failure, the renewing of the fellowship. What about the releasing of the financing? What about it? What is the tithe? Well, I heard someone say this. Someone said, the tithe is the tenth. And that's halfway right. What do you mean, preacher? The tithe is the tenth. The word tithe means tenth, doesn't it? Help me out, church. Does the tithe mean tenth? Read Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 7. You say, you mean New Testament? Oh, yeah, New Testament. The tithe means the tenth. Write this verse of Scripture down. Genesis 28:22. Jacob said, I will give unto thee the tenth of all that I possess. The tithe. The word tithe means tenth. The tenth. But it's not just the tenth. The tithe is the first tenth. Now you got it proper. It's not the tenth as in the 90 of 100. Or the 50th tenth of the 100, it's the first tenth of the 100. Amen. Percent. Right? Of the first fruits. Isn't that what the scripture says in Proverbs 3? Of the first fruits of all thine increase. It's the first tenth. It's not just any tenth. No, you don't see what you can get out of the 100% and then say, well, now if there's enough left in that 100%, I'll give that tenth to God. No, you give that off the top. That's the biblical tithe. Many of you realize that. That's why God's blessed His work. That's why God's blessed your life. That's why when we come to church, we can smile, we can shout, we can praise God, because there's nothing between us and the Savior. Somebody say amen with me. That's what our churches need. Clean hearts, clear consciences, a walk before God in heaven in all that we do, you see. This is why God blesses the church. This is why God will bless your life. This is why God will bless your home. This is why God will bless your business. It is. When you learn this biblical concept. What did he say? Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Bring me all the tithes and offerings. Bring me all the tithes into the storehouse. So there's a proportion here. I realize that when I talk about this morning, and I can't tell you, and I'm not going to even get into that. I don't want anybody to think I'm apologizing for preaching on giving. I rarely preach on giving. But you can't preach the Bible without preaching on giving. Jesus gave 38 parables in the New Testament, 16 of them are on giving. Do the research for yourself. 1 in 10 verses in the 4 gospel accounts on giving, on possessions. You can't preach the Bible in the whole council without preaching on this wonderful way that God wants to bless our lives. See, God said, I'll give it to you. But Jesus said in Luke 6, give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Right? Amen. Right, brethren? Is that the book? Amen. That's the book. Trying to help you get the windows of heaven open on your life. Some of you need the windows of heaven open. Some listening by live stream. All of us want it. Many have experienced it. But maybe there's some that say, you know, I'm just not sure about it. What is the tithe? Well, it's the first tenth. Biblically, it's the first tenth. All right? Look what he said. He said in verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes, the tenth. Now, there's somebody here saying, well, now, wait a minute. That's Old Testament, preacher. That's law. And I want you to listen very carefully to me now. That's law. That's Old Testament. Well, you tell me, was Abraham before the law? Somebody help me out. Abraham was before the law, about 400 years before the law. Did Abraham bring tithes to Melchizedek of all that he possessed? Amen. Yeah. Tithing was before the law, so don't say it's the law. Did Jacob say in Genesis 28:22 that he would give a tenth of all that he possessed? Yes. Was that before the law? Amen. Yes. Did Jesus teach after the law that you ought to tithe? Yes. Read Matthew 23:23. Jesus said, listen, you've done well by tithing on these small things. He said, but don't forget some of the other weightier matters of the law. Read it. Matthew 23:23. Write those verses down. Very important. So see, we have these instances of tithing before the law. We have this commandment of tithing during the law. And then we have Jesus teaching tithing after the law. Tithing is a biblical concept that God owns everything. He's given it to us. And he expects us to return the tithe and then give the offering. That's what God's wanting to open the windows of heaven on your life. You say, preacher, I need a blessing. You know, here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and many of you have seen this, Brother Dice did. Pastor Thompson back there, Brother David alluded to it. When we began to give, it may be of a mission endeavor, it may be of a need, like in Ukraine, we sent a few thousand dollars over to Ukraine to help those refugees over there. Now, we always validate, we always research how the money's going to be used and who it's going to go to, because we are held accountable for that. And I'll be talking about that in tonight's service, the importance of integrity in ministry when it comes to God's money. It's important. Amen. One of the things that has ruined the church, and I'm speaking about in general, and ruin ministries, is a lack of integrity in accounting for God's money. Amen. It's a disgrace. Right. I'm going to tell you something. Some people are going to stand before God about these things too. Right. The proportion, it's the tenth. I like what one man said. I want you to think about this. He said, Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued it. Moses commanded it. Jesus commended it. Who am I to cancel it? So, preacher, I want the windows of heaven. Many of you have seen it. You've testified. Here lately on Sunday evenings, we've been having testimony services, and many people stand up and talk about how God has blessed their life and what God is doing in their life. We've seen God bless this ministry, paid off the property across the road in, what was it, 3 years? Help me out, Brother Tracy. Around 3 years. And you know what? It's not because, as I said, because there's someone special here. It's because of biblical obedience to the Word of God. Amen. God is just saying, I want to bless somebody. I want to open the windows on someone and pour them out a blessing. Who will keep my ordinance? Who will prove me? That's what he's saying. You say, preacher, I want some of that. All right. Then here it is. Start with this. Release your money. Number one, the 10th. Now, just in the event, and I did this. Let me get my phone here. I'm not making a call. I went to the state website of Virginia, and I went to the office of the Attorney General because I wanted to find out something. I thought it was so. I heard it was so, but I wanted to prove it was so. Now, someone has said, well, I'm not going to give the tithe. It's the law. And if you want to believe that, that's fine. I'm not trying to change you on that. I'm telling you what God said. And if you want to continue to believe that, that's fine. It's not biblical, but if you want to believe that, okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you know, I didn't know, but I wanted to prove it. Do you know what would happen to you as a parent? How many parents do we have in the house? Raise your hand. I'm a parent. A parent. Do you know what would happen to you if you chose not to feed your children, clothe your children, and give reasonable care to your children? What would happen to you? Anyone know? I'm hearing, can't hear.
They take them away.
They take them away. That's exactly what they'll do. They will punish you. That's child neglect. But now let me ask you this. How many people feed their children, clothe their children, and care for their children because they're afraid if they don't, the state will take them away? See, that's like saying, I'm not going to tithe because it's the law. I'm going to feed my children because it's the law. Oh, come on now.
Amen.
Come on now. Somewhere love's got to kick in. Somewhere grace has got to kick in. See, I do this for my children because I love them.
Amen.
I do this for God because I love Him. Amen. I love this work. I love God's work.
Amen.
If it takes a law to get me to do something for God, there's something wrong in my heart. I'd say if a Jew could do it under the law, surely a Christian can do more than the law. Amen. Just in case you wanted to go to that page, your parents have the right to custody and control of you. Listen up, young folks. We got some parents who hadn't heard a word I say. They cut me off when Malachi 3 was read. But boy, they're listening now. Read the rest of that, preacher. Read the rest of that. Their child was asleep. And I seen one of them. No, I didn't see. Wake up. Wake up, girl. Listen to what this preacher said. Custody and control means you must obey your parents. Now I'm reading this for corrective reasons. Unless they ask you to break the law, and they must take care of you. Parents must provide you with necessary food, clothing, shelter, and medical care, as well as supervision, discipline, protection, and education. They cannot desert or abandon you. Hey, listen, this is from the Attorney General's office in Virginia. Go to the website. I did it myself. I wanted to see. I don't need this. I don't need this. You don't need this. You're good God-fearing people. You want to do what's right. You see what I'm saying? You get the analogy here? Some folks say, well, I'm not going to do it. It's the law. Well, you don't do it because it's the law or not the law. You do it because it's out of your heart. But however, if you fail to do it, the law's in place. Amen. And I'm glad you understand that. Let me give you a couple things and then we'll be finished. You say, well, preacher, where do I bring, you know, I know what to bring. Where do I bring it? We looked at the definite proportion. Let's look at this designated place. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Bring you all the tithes into where? Storehouse. I don't have time to develop this. Go back and look into the temple. There was a compartment that was built to store usually the meats and the vegetables to feed the priest. Now, some of the animals were for the offerings, but they were brought in there so that the work of God could be carried on. As a matter of fact, if you'll look at this word one more time now, look at this word in verse number 10, bring you all the tithes into where? The storehouse. I want you to look that word up when you get home. Turn to 1 Corinthians just for a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I found this very, very interesting. Now, most of you know, if you've been attending Fellowship Baptist Church a while, I love to study words. Word studies. You find out a lot of truth when you study words. You do. Why is God blessing your life? So, well, God's blessing me because I am who I am. God's blessing me because of my family name. Oh, no, no, no. God's blessing you, number one, because He chooses to. But number two, because He's good that way. And number three, because God blesses people who do things according to His Word. That's why God's blessing this ministry. And I want to publicly praise the Lord for it.
Amen. Amen.
When our staff meets every second, used to be Monday, we changed it to Tuesday just recently. At the end of the reading of all the financial reports, I asked someone sitting around that table of around 25 men to stand and let's publicly praise the Lord and give Him thanks for meeting every need of Fellowship Baptist Church.
Amen.
And you can just sense. Now, men, help me out. There's 25, 28 men around that table. They're in this congregation today. Help me out here. You can just sense the presence of God when we're offering thanksgiving for His meeting our every need. You ought to gather your family around just like we do out there. You ought to gather your family around at the close of each day and say, God, You've met every need we have.
Amen.
And for that we praise You.
Amen.
God, we're unworthy, but You're worthy for meeting our needs that way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in the storehouse. So that's what that means in store. Look up the word. It's the same word. It means treasury. It means depository. It means reserve. That's what it means. Same word. See, you bring your tithes to the house of God. You don't send your tithes to relatives. You don't do that. So I'm going to give my tithe to the poor and needy. Now, you give your offering to the poor and needy. Don't give your tithe to the poor and needy. See, you do that through the church. We give to the poor and needy. Let's look at this, and then I'll bring this to a close. He said in verse number 8, will a man rob God? He will. And then he said, you have robbed me. And he said in verse number 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You've robbed me. And therefore, God can't open the windows of heaven on you. He's actually going to cut you off. You say, well, I have a lot. I know people who give God nothing, who give no accountability to God. Did you know that God could take plenty and curse a man with it? Please don't think that God's cursing on your life is with little. God could curse you with a lot. There's some people can't sleep at night because they're afraid somebody's going to steal a dollar from them. They've got 20 million, but they're afraid that somebody's going to take $10. They're not cursed by what they don't have. They're cursed by what they do have. That's right. So please don't think that's the way God can work with you. So in bringing this to conclusion, I want you to think about this. God said, I want you to bring your tithes and offerings in. I want you to bring them to the storehouse. Don't send them to PTL or whatever they have going on now. That was back in my day. You don't send your tithe. The tithe is through the storehouse. He said, when you rob God, you're not only robbing God, you're robbing God's church. Listen carefully now. You're robbing missions. You're robbing ministry to the lost, to the needy. But about as important as robbing any of those except God is you're robbing yourself. What are you robbing yourself of, preacher? The windows of heaven being opened and God pouring a blessing on you. See, I want to see God bless your life. I do. I want to see God bless my life. And I'm seeing God bless your lives. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing God bless this work. People come to the church and they look up and they say, what's all this? What's all this? These are just some of the areas, some back here, where Fellowship Baptist Church is represented. Because we brought the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse. And we said, God, we trust you. And he says, because you've trusted me, I'm going to entrust something to you. Right? The greater riches. Luke 16 is where we'll close. You say, you didn't say that one time. Yeah, I know. I never did get to Luke 16, though. Luke 16. See, God said, I want to pour out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive it. You say, I sure would like to get that, Pastor. Well, then just follow God's simple plan. It's simple. It's not hard. You just honor him with the first fruits of your increase. You give the tenth as a tithe, and then everything over that, you give as an offering unto the Lord. You bring it to the storehouse. And as I said in tonight's service, we're going to talk about what happens in the storehouse of Fellowship Baptist Church. We have a storehouse here. We do. What happens in the storehouse? How is that money allocated? What happens to the money that's brought in here? I've heard some people say, well, I just give it. It's not my responsibility what they do with it. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Don't ever take that approach to anything in the work of God. Never. That's not a good approach. In Luke 16, I want you to notice something now. Some folks, when they turn to Luke 16, they automatically think, well, the preacher's going to talk about hell. I want to talk about stewardship because that's what God talked about, Jesus did right before hell. Look at this verse of Scripture. Look at verse number 10. He that is faithful, you're in Luke 16, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. You believe that? I do, because Jesus said it. But I do because I've seen it. What's he saying? Look at the next verse. If, therefore, ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. You know what mammon is? It's wealth. It's money. If you've not been faithful, if you haven't been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You say, preacher, I sure would like for God to entrust some things to my care. I sure would like for God to entrust some things into the care of Fellowship Baptist Church. I want God to enlarge our ministry, Pastor. I'd love to see the vision come to fulfillment across the road over here and even explode right here on this property. Well, God is saying, now listen. Now, if you can't be faithful in the unrighteous things of mammon, material things, who's going to entrust the righteous things into your care? The true riches, ministry, making a difference, impacting lives, changing families. Right, brethren?
Amen.
Some faces you'll never see in person. Some faces are different color than mine. They speak different languages. They have different cultures, but they have a soul like mine and like yours. And they need Jesus like me and like you. And God said, I want to entrust that into your care. And he has. Look how God has entrusted us. Sometimes I wonder if even I as the pastor realize how much God has entrusted to us. And it's all of God.
Amen.
And I bow my unworthy head and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. How about you? Let's stand to our feet.